Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving-Schenk, and Joan Adams and I host this show. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Our guest this evening is Mr. 2020, author of www.2020unleashed.com, www.justkickass.com, and www.innerwealth101.com, and there's many more than that. Joan and I just love Mr. 2020 and his beautiful wife, Carol. It is like being with our oldest friends, and the hour feels like a warm glow forever. So we are planning to see where the show leads on this evening, and we are counting on what we call show flow. So joining me now is Joan Adams.
Joan Adams, hello and good evening, and I love the show flow.
The show flow.
Yes. Yes. It's always that way with 20, though. You know, it's just take it and relax and enjoy. Absolutely a warm glow and an old friend and delightful. Looking forward to this. This will be great.
Totally so. Hello, 2020.
Hello, Kate. Hello, Joan. How are you both this evening?
Hello, 20. We are fine. I speak for Kate. I am fine.
Well, I am too. So how are you this evening?
I am doing awesome. We just lived through a five-day internet crisis up here in Pennsylvania.
Uh-oh.
And it was really cool about the whole thing. It really gave us the time to sit back and reflect and just get a little leaner. You know, I guess about last Thursday we had about 10 more, maybe 15 more websites than we currently do. And in the process of doing all the stuff we had to do to move sites from one server to another, we really just, Carol and I got to sit down and have some good heart-to-heart talks about what do we really want to do? Yeah, and we left a couple websites go, obviously, and what's cool, all the ones you mentioned we still have. So
that's
hysterical.
Oh yeah, when you started mentioning websites, I thought this will be cool.
It was synchronistic, that's for sure.
That's right.
Well, Joan, you had a similar experience with being away from the computer
computer, and then a month or so ago, we had like 9 hours with no service, period. I've been on a little crippled laptop the last week or so, which has been a nightmare. But I was totally shocked when we were without service, absolutely no service, at my dependence on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was really funny. And no TV and no internet for 8 hours. And you would think we were unplugged from the world. It was
you almost were.
Yeah, we had power, you know, and, you know, we were perfectly comfortable, but it was just, we were both just kind of lost. It was hysterical. Like, what is this? You know, interesting to take a step back and look at that and say, how much time am I spending on this computer anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So it
slows you down when you're not,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, when you're doing, sort of stepping away from it, it slows you down totally.
Yeah. And I've watched it with using this little laptop, and this little laptop is so old, while my other one is broken. And the same thing, you know, I'm learning how to, I've actually, we cleaned house some the other day, and, you know, it's like the world, there's a world out there, you know. Took some walks, you know, just some nice things. But, yeah, it's amazing how much the technology takes over.
Yeah.
If you're not careful.
I just thought I'd look at this chat room, and I'm like, God, the thing is filled up.
Oh, really?
Hello, now, everybody, yeah.
How fabulous.
Yes, they're here to see you, 2020.
I made it a point today to let a few very special people know that we were on this show tonight. And, yeah, you know, it's really cool just the direction that the show's taking already, because a good friend of mine's listening in. Her name's Granny Earth.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And that really is her name. And, you know, which is really, really a cool part of my story, because, you know, about 3 years ago when I first started getting the idea to change my name to the number of Perfect Vision 2020, you know, Granny was there to offer me a little bit of support and advice, because, you know, literally, she's a naturopath, and, you know, years and years ago, she changed her name to Granny Earth, because that's her vision. And it's really, really cool, because whenever I sent out my email that I was on the show today, I made sure I contacted her, because she's another person who really appreciates, you know, what shows like this have to offer. You know, literally, it's like we're a tribe coming together here.
Oh, I do believe
and,
that.
Oh, yeah. It's just so cool, because, you know, like you were saying, Joan, you went for 8 hours without the internet. And it's, you know, I have a tribe that's throughout the world, and it all started with going into business online, but it's become more than a business. It's become literally a number of tribes that we've helped grow around the world. And so we have these international tribes that span the globe, but we also have our local community. And it's really odd sometimes, because trying to maintain a balance there, to discover a balance,
mm-hmm.
really,
mm-hmm.
It's wild in today's day and age.
Yes.
Oh yes, your internet family becomes your part of your family. I mean, there's just no question about that. You know,
absolutely.
We have relationships with all of these folks online, and they are every bit as important as the people in our day to day, what I call my real world. And you know, it is. Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting, and I do think we're gathering. I think there's a spiritual gathering of like minds or something around the world.
Absolutely.
And I think this show is a part of that, as near as I can tell, a part of that movement. It's been interesting to watch, you know, as the show has grown over the last, what, almost a year, I guess, now, Kate, isn't it?
March the 3rd.
Yeah, so we're moving on. Yeah.
Are you going to get together more Vision Quest radio shows?
Absolutely. You know, it's really, really wild. I was doing a local FM radio gig Thursday mornings for a couple months, and that was pretty cool, but that got shut down about 3 weeks ago. They went to a fully automated station, so there's not even a DJ there, which is pretty amazing if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol and I have been thinking really, really hard, what do we want to do with Vision Quest Radio? And it's really, really cool. We're, you know, even after the show tonight, we're going to go get something to eat and basically just nail down a couple things. And we're really excited, because probably we're tentatively going to fire it up next week. So we will definitely keep you in the loop as far as what shows we're going to do. And we're probably going to do two shows a week. You know, one in the evening and one in midday. So you know, we're just really looking forward to getting that active again. And of course, you know, just like your show here, it's just amazing the people that show up, the people that you meet, and the way it all comes together. I mean, absolutely with divine perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It has a life of its own, really.
Yes, and it has from the very beginning. It has literally had a life of its own. Do you all have family for Thanksgiving 20?
Yeah, we odds are that we'll be going over to my grandma's on Thanksgiving. Usually Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve, she has something going on. So we get to go over there and spend time with family. And what's going to be really cool this year, I've been online for about 10 years or so, a little longer than 10 years this time around. And for the most part, I've never really told my family what I do. You know, they know that I teach some seminars. They know I do some marketing work. But I really have never told them a whole bunch about what I do because they really don't know much about the Internet, as far as I know. And what's really wild, they started listening to me when I was on the local FM radio. And I never thought about that. I never told anyone that I was up there or anything. I just would go up on Thursdays, and I was on for about 3 hours. And it's really cool because from what I understand, my grandma was listening in a whole bunch when I was up on the radio. And, so they actually got to learn a lot about me because I shared my life on the Internet with the local people on the FM station. So,
isn't it cool?
It's just wild. So, like for years, I just never bothered telling them what I do. You know, it's like, I teach some seminars and do some marketing and, you know, so on and so forth. So, it's just wild.
Yeah. So are they impressed or are they just, ho-hum?
I don't know. We'll be seeing a whole bunch of them, Thanksgiving, so that'll be a trip.
Yes.
Charlie's asking what Vision Quest Radio does.
Cool. Vision Quest Radio was inspired sort of along with my whole name change thing. I was on a Vision Quest about 10 years ago, and to make a long story short, Native American teachings, philosophy, and skills have been something which have really transformed my life. I was a hostage back in a prison riot in 1989, diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Lost my house, my wife, my family, my job, all that stuff. And to make a long story short, one of the most important events in my life involved a series of vision quests. And when we put together Vision Quest Radio, whenever the whole name change thing started to evolve and really focusing on helping people to discover and to live their inner vision, we got the idea to do a blog talk show called Vision Quest Radio. And one night a week we were doing Mastermind Mondays, and the other night a week, which varied a little bit, we were doing like an open line show. And it was really cool, the people that would show up, because for example, on Mastermind Mondays, the whole idea is about helping you become more focused, more productive, more positive, having a bigger impact in the world. And it was really cool because we'd have anywhere from 6 to 12 to sometimes 15 listeners call in, and they would all be helping each other with stuff. Somebody would call in and say, I want to do this, but I'm not sure how. And somebody else would call in, and they would have a good idea, but they wouldn't know what to do with it. And literally, you could watch the magic. And I just sit back and talk a little bit and just sort of allow myself to be more like a facilitator. And you can just watch the magic on both the Open Line show and on Mastermind Mondays. And it was just wild to watch, wild to be a part of. And we're looking forward to gearing that up in a really cool way again, probably starting next week.
Neat. I'm glad that you're doing that, really. And you guess you don't know the time or the day at this time?
We're going to, hey, I see Carol just made it in.
Oh, good. Hi, Carol.
Hey, honey. We don't have it nailed down exactly. We're going to put it down to about 3 slots probably tonight and kick it around with a couple other things. We're going to probably start off the series with a couple visits with Granny Earth and see if she likes the show, all that good stuff. It'd be great getting her on. And just sort of see how the schedules work out. So,
Very cool.
In a couple of hours.
That is wonderful.
Well, this is very exciting that you're coming back on because it was funny. I searched for you. I expected that you would be on Thursday night at 9 or 10 or something like that. And I guess the last show was on September the 10th or something. So... So then I think I communicated with you about it, and you said that synchronistically you were thinking about coming back on. I guess you'll have a whole different vision about this show, or maybe it will be somewhat similar, but different because you've had a chance to step back and evaluate and, you know, review the stuff that you've done before. I'm sure it will be a little, you know, just more refreshed and more rejuvenated because you did have a chance to step aside.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, it was funny because toward the end when we were doing Vision Quest Radio up until September, it was really wild because, I mean, I was on the local FM dial in the morning. I was getting up like at 5 in the morning, and then we were having our show like at 9 o'clock at night or something like that. And I was just tired. The show wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. I wasn't up to, you know, performance like I wanted to be. And it was interesting because, I mean, I would literally get on the show, and, I would get on the show, and I just didn't have much. And I would tell the callers, look, I'm only going to talk for about 5 or 10 minutes. If you want something going on, call in. And we had some really cool shows. I mean, would people just call up and then things would, you know, just, you know, start rocking and rolling a good bit. But even that started to fall apart a little bit. And I think one of the things which is well worth bringing into our awareness is that in this season, the season of autumn, that it's literally time to let things fall apart sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to let Vision Quest Radio literally fall apart, like the leaves when they fall off the oak trees and go to the ground. The way the sap goes from the trees into the roots, we literally had to let Vision Quest Radio die and return to Earth. With our website crisis over the past 5 days, we literally had to let some things that we had going on die so we could literally get more streamlined and more focused. And it's really cool because, you know, we resist that in this culture. We resist literally the season of autumn, the returning to Earth, the turning within, that silent time. And it's such a powerful part of who we are, you know, as a not really as a culture, but as humanity. You know, we have to take time to literally do what the trees are doing right now. Let go, turn within, be still, return to our roots, and just so much cool stuff can come from that.
It's funny, I did a lens on that very thing last night. So just ode to the dying leaf. Really, you know, the leaf is so just, I took a picture of this crispy sort of large leaf amongst some very, the kinds of greenery that lives throughout the winter months. And it's such a neat picture that I did a few prayers around it and made a lens out of it. And it's funny that you should say these things because it was something I was sort of meditating on last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah,
wonderful, wonderful.
Beautiful prayers coming out of that, Kate. And I don't know if you all have read, but if you haven't, The Fall of Freddy the Leaf.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Reading for everybody. I love that little book. It's the best explanation of life and death I think I've ever seen.
When I was in the police academy, Joan, we had this amazing teacher come in for a weekend for basically a psychology module. And his name was J.R. Hirsch. And J.R., among other things, he brought us in, we read Freddy the Leaf. Now, if you can imagine all these tough young people wanting to be police officers, about 98% of the class was all young people, you know, 18 to 25. There were a couple, you know, what I called old folks back then in their 40s, you know. It was really amazing because you had all these people focused on fighting crime and learning law and all that stuff. And along comes J.R. Hirsch with this book called Freddy the Leaf. And wow, it was just an amazing module. I'll never forget that as long as I live. The gift that he brought to the whole class, not only that day, but for the entire time we were there,
yeah,
and by bringing that book.
It's an older book. I did a lens on it last week. But the fascinating thing to me, after I made it, I went out on YouTube just to check, and Leo, and I can't pronounce his name, but the author of the book.
Leo Buscaglia.
Buscaglia
yes.
has there are four videos there, and of course he's been dead since the 70s, but there are four videos there, and I believe he is reading the story. But I put all four videos on the lens. Yes, I was thrilled to see it. And he is there are pictures. I read that Harvard did the videos.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating, just beautiful
wow.
work. And he's reading in the background. But yeah, that book has been in my world since what did I say, 94, 95. And
nice.
I loved that little book, loved it, and still cling to it, because it's the book I want read to my grandchildren when I die.
Wow.
And it's, you know, it's hard to say that. I will get it said to my son and his wife, because that's the way I want them to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the life continues and life goes on, and, you know, when it's our time, we fall off the tree.
Hey, we have a 724 area code here.
Ah.
Let me just bring them on. Hello there.
Hello, this is Granny Earth. Is this Linda and Joan?
It's Kate and Joan.
Yes, nice to hear you.
You too. I thank 20 for putting me on to you women, and I'm excited about this show you're doing.
Wonderful.
Thank
We're
you.
Delighted that
Welcome.
You're here.
Thank you.
Linda.
Thank you.
Tell us
hi, 20. Oh, okay.
Good morning.
Well, my
name,
hi. Hello, 20. I'm a naturopath, natural doctor, and right now I'm 69 years young, and I'm following my path on the road of natural healing and inner wisdom, which I want to say that John, 20, and Carol live their vision quest by sharing their inner wisdom, which has been especially precious to me at this time in my life. And basically, I started out with weeds, and I wrote a book called Do-It-Yourself Weed Medicine, and that means some people might call them herbs, but I feel closer to them, and I like to call them what we all call them and still call some of them, pull them out of our gardens, and that, and they're weeds, and they all have good medicinal energy properties in them. So I was called to write the book, and it gives a lot of information about the history of natural health and the pharmaceutical industry and how we got in the shape we are now, where everybody should know where we are now with the pharmaceutical industry. But then it goes into the weeds and the pictures and descriptions and what the weeds are good for, and how you can use them yourself, and just go pick the weeds that are growing all around you and learn what they're good for as healing.
Wow.
I just picked a bunch of comfrey today, which would probably interest you.
Oh,
comfrey
yeah.
is a good one, yeah. Does it grow wild where you are?
Well, we planted it, and then, of course, it just goes wild. And my dog has a hematoma in his ear. So
okay.
It came to me that maybe I should make him some poultices, and
cool.
Instead of you know, having, maybe we can get rid of it in a way that doesn't require surgery. I mean, the vet did say that sometimes they go back into, you know, they just disappear. So I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
that maybe comfrey is the answer.
Excellent.
Yes, if that's what's coming to you, you see, I believe that the nature talks to us if we only know how to listen.
Yeah.
And I think if that's what's coming to you, yes, I have that in my healing salve. Comfrey is a good healer.
Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yep. So, what else do you want to know about me? I have a hard time talking about myself, but it's been great knowing 20 and Carol, and our circle of friends is increasing. And like I said, they're living the vision quest, and we're all learning from each other. And I think that is That's what I like, and that's what excites me, getting together with like-minded souls and sharing what we know and helping each other along this journey, because sometimes it can get a little tough.
For sure.
We need each other.
We do need each other.
Yes, we do. And we need to suspend the judgment and control and just be open and let each other teach each other and keep learning and keep sharing and keep giving. And I do believe what we give comes back to us. And I think it's an exciting journey. Like I said, I'm thrilled to have 20 and count in my life and to be invited on your talk show. First time I've ever did this, so it's kind of new to me.
Do you have a web page?
I have www.grannyearth.com. Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
And I have a lot of information on there about natural healing and a lot of articles that I've written over the years, a few products for sale, and my books, of course. I have 3 books, The Weed Medicine, and one called The Journey In, which is my own spiritual journey into healing my own body by just using my breath and being still. And that was kind of a miracle, and I had to write a book to share about that. So,
wow.
And then I have one about recipes using weeds, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. So, yeah, I think it's all about helping people get back to nature and back to community. I think community where we can share and live in peace and teach each other, and hopefully the communities will grow and more people will become involved and get out of this mindset of fighting and war and all that goes with that, you know?
Oh, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. So,
are you all from the same general area? You live in the same town?
Well, we live in different little towns. I would say, 20, we're about 12 miles away or something.
Oh, yeah, but about 12 miles, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
What's really nice, we're close enough that we can get together and enjoy some of the beautiful scenery and, of course, some cigars, too, up here in Pennsylvania. So, truly awesome.
I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, so
I'm hoping
that when Carol and 20 get their one of their retreats together, I will come.
Wonderful.
Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wouldn't it? Wow.
Oh, wow.
See, I think that's what it is. The energy is gathering now, and I like what you all had to say about the fall of the year, this time of the year, and about, you know, just being still and the leaves fall. And I never did read The Fall, Freddy the Leaf, but I'm sure going to look that up. That sounds really, really great. And Leo Bascalia, is that how you say his name?
Bascalia.
Yeah.
I have a few old, what do you call those little tapes, those little old audio tapes? The old cassette tapes, yes. I have one or two. Pat, remind me to share them with you. Fall time coming, it's quiet, it's dark, it gets dark early. Gee, what are we going to do? And I guess it's forcing us to be still and go inside and look at maybe this spirit of who we are and just be with us and with other like-minded people that can encourage us and lead us one step further. Because my experience is it's not an easy journey in and to be still with oneself. Sometimes the human mind wants to fight that, you know. So I think sometimes the circumstances have to force us and prod us, and pretty soon almost we have no choice but to lay down and be still with ourselves. And I was going to write a book once called Healing Is Hell, and somebody said, that's not right. Well, I said, sometimes it can feel like hell if you really get into the deep stuff, but it's all cleansing and cleansing, coming up to be healed and going on for the next purpose, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. It might seem like hell for a while, but it transforms into something else. So
exactly. And what are the, what's the quote? And this too shall change.
Yeah.
It came to pass. It came to pass, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you, folks, for being there and having this time to share. And I'm grateful to be invited, and I sure do appreciate the connections. And I put a newsletter out once a month, been doing it for years. It's called Connections, and 20's writing in that newsletter now. And I think that word came to me when I was had a healing episode once, and I had a hard time remaining sane. But when I was connecting with other like souls, I felt really good. So the name of the newsletter became Connections, and I see that. I get a picture of lines going out from a center spiral. You know, all these little filaments going out and drawing other spirits in, like in a big connection ring or something.
Wow.
So anyhow, thank you for listening to me, and hope to talk with you all again.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was wonderful
thank
for you.
You
to call in. That was okay. Brave of you.
Well, I did. I clicked on the link, and then I waited till I clicked on chat. Now, I never did get it coming up on my computer, but I called Carol, and she said, well, just call in and you can listen there. And I said, okay, that's what I'll do. I'm not a real technical person, you know. I mean, I'm nature, put me out with the rocks and the mud, fine, but give me a computer. I do the best I can. I guess I do better than some people I know, but I still have a little antsiness, you know, when it's something I don't know. So, but it all worked out good, and everything does, doesn't it?
But it does,
yeah.
Betty. We're so glad you did it. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Linda, Joan, and 20, and Kale. Thanks a bunch. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Hey, Granny.
Mm-hmm.
How delightful.
Yes, it is. We have another caller here with a 901 area code. Let's see here. Hello there. 901 area code. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. That's fine. Well, she is delightful, 20. Thank you for having Granny Earth. What a beautiful name.
Granny is one of the coolest people that we've been blessed to know up here in Pennsylvania. It's really, really cool, just the people that show up in your life. You know, if you're willing to share and open up and be you, which is... think about this. How many people never bother? They're either afraid or they don't know how to share who and what they really are and what they're passionate about. And it's not until you're able to do that that you can really become friends with and literally attract the people that need to be in your life. Granny is just a dear friend who, we sit around and, we have deep belly laughs and amazing discussions, and it's all because we're just, you know, who we are and what we do. We're just honest and integrous, and it's a great way to go.
Oh, yes. It really is.
That's delightful.
And I know you and Carol do weed walks, but it sounds like that Granny Earth does too, so I think that's a wonderful thing to do.
Absolutely. You know, when we do our afternoon, we do two kinds of courses when it comes to nature. We do like the weekends, which basically go from like a Friday to a Monday, and we have people from literally all over the world fly in for those. Granny got to meet a really cool fellow named Simon from Australia a couple months ago when he came in for the class, because he stayed for a whole week besides the weekend training. And, oh, yeah, if you figure if he's going to fly over, he's going to rent me for an extra 4 or 5 days just to make it worthwhile for the trip. So it's really cool. We do those, and then we do the afternoon classes, which are just sort of like little micro classes of like 4 or 6 hours. And it's truly amazing to, exactly like how Granny does in her weed walks and when we're doing our wild edible and medicinal plant classes. It's truly amazing. You know, the old elders taught me that what you need always grows close to home. You don't need stuff from far away places. What you need to do is to become more aware of the gifts and the blessings that the divine God, the spirit that moves through all things, whatever you want to call it, makes available for you. You know, literally what you need grows outside your hut. And it's a wild world if you really learn how to see it that way.
Oh, yes.
What you need grows outside your hut.
Yep, absolutely.
And do you remember I was just going to say, the poison ivy has growing beside it the anecdote to it, which is jewelry.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely.
So whenever you get stung by something, there is something right nearby that will help you heal that.
Absolutely. On our one website, nativeeyes.com, we have a whole bunch of local plants and stuff on there. And one of the articles on there, I'm not sure how far back it is, talks about plantain. And years ago, I had a little wee granddaughter. And when she was about 2.5, 3 years old, I taught her about plantain. Because the neat thing with plantain is, one of the uses that it's great for is if you can make a poultice out of the leaf. And if you get a bee sting, literally, you know, where you find bees, you'll almost always find plantain. And so you take that plantain leaf and you put it in your mouth and you lean forward a little bit and you just chew it real fast. And when you lean forward and you chew it real fast, it keeps all the saliva and all the goop together. And so you basically pull that little wad of goop out, so it looks like chewing tobacco, and you put it on your bee sting, and immediately, you know, within microseconds, it neutralizes the bee sting.
Do you think that's what I should do with the comfrey, is chew it up and put it on his ear?
Now, that I don't know. But, you know, for what it's worth, you know, something to think about. You know, in our culture, we are so concerned with sanitary and germs and stuff like that. But if you think about, you know, the plantain and the bee sting, literally your saliva is full of catalysts. It's full of enzymes.
Yeah.
So whenever you take that plantain and you chew it and you put it on the bee sting, it works rapidly, in part because of the saliva helping to activate what's in the plantain. And
yeah.
And again, you know, if I say definitely use the plantain, or definitely use, you know, chew on the comfrey or mix saliva with it and put it on the dog's ear, you know, some people would probably cringe at that. But, you know, really, I mean,
no, it makes perfect sense to me.
Well,
actually,
let me make
you
cringe again. I'll make you cringe some more. And I'm wondering if there's a connection. When we were kids, our daddy would take a cigarette. Like we got a bee sting. He would take the cigarette and chew it and put it on the sting, put the
tobacco
on the sting. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Same
principle,
you know, right?
Tobacco is an extremely powerful healing plant. If you look at the flower of tobacco, and if anybody wants some really cool homework, would you ladies like some really cool homework?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Look up three plants, and those three plants are foxglove, catalpa, and tobacco.
You have to spell the middle one.
The middle one is C-A-T-A-L-P-A. And if I'm correct, I think Carol has on I Photograph God a picture of catalpa today. The catalpa is the Toby tree that you know, basically looks like long green beans that grow off this tree. But if you look at the flower of the catalpa tree,
I'm not her garden, nor her parents.
If you look at the flower of the catalpa tree, if you look at the flower of foxglove, which is what digitalis comes from, and you look at the flower of tobacco, you're going to see three very similar flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And those three plants are extremely powerful healers. The catalpa tree is an ancient cancer cure. Foxglove is what digitalis comes from. And what's cool about foxglove versus digitalis, you can't overdose. Well, it's almost impossible to overdose on foxglove, because if you're using foxglove and you consume too much, it literally makes you throw it back up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, where you can kill yourself with digitalis, it's really tough with foxglove. And tobacco, again, almost everyone's aware that the Native Americans considered tobacco sacred. And tobacco is probably one of the most powerful healing plants on the planet. You know, however, it's not used with thankfulness, which is essential. And it's also, I mean, it's just adulterated really, really terribly in this culture. But
mm-hmm.
those three
plants. Oh, my gosh. Those cigarettes have so many chemicals in it. If I were smoking cigarettes nowadays, I would go to a tobacco store and buy organic tobacco that I would personally roll. That's how I would smoke it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, Kay, we have in Pennsylvania grown our own tobacco here. If you look on 2020unleashed.com, there's a little link at the top of the page there that says share tobacco. So on 2020unleashed.com, go to the, you know, take a peek there. On the top menu bar, there's the share tobacco link. And that should, assuming the website propagated properly, you'll see some photos of baby tobacco plants that we've grown here. And really, really cool. So you could, if you know anybody who would want to grow their own tobacco, it's definitely possible up here in Pennsylvania.
Oh, we certainly have a lot of tobacco down here, but they put lots of chemicals on it. So obviously you guys do. And another wonderful plant is marijuana. There is absolutely nothing more vital, more beautiful than absolutely sitting next to a marijuana plant. There is nothing more beautiful in the world, ever.
Wow.
It responds to you. It moves with, it actually speaks to you. But, you know, so does every other plant, but there's something so alive about marijuana that I can't even, you know, even not smoking it or smoking it, that's not the point. But being with the plant itself is unbelievable.
Kate, then are you, talk to me about medicinal marijuana then. Are you?
It certainly should be legalized, personally. I mean,
that's what I wanted to hear you say.
You know, because I had a patient, I probably just want to say that she, you know, was incarcerated and chained to a hospital bed because she smoked marijuana. And to me, that is, I cannot, you know. That is just too much to bear. It should be legalized today, you know, yesterday, last week.
I am so ignorant about that. I have no opinion, but I've always wondered, because it just makes sense to me, particularly for cancer patients. If it brings relief, why not?
You know, in about 50 years, tobacco will probably be in about the same position as marijuana. If you study history, you know, the first thing that they tend to do is demonize. And the second thing, you know, and I'm talking, you know, the government when it comes to stuff like this. The first thing they almost always do is demonize. The second thing they do is tax. And the third thing they do is regulate and eventually ban. And it's fascinating to watch, because if you look historically, you can go to Wikipedia and you can look up famous cigar smokers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at famous cigar smokers, people like Mark Twain, who smoked up to 20 cigars a day, and people like Winston Churchill, and really, you know, and there are some really fascinating studies that demonstrate, you know, scientifically, that tobacco does not cause cancer, that it contributes to creativity and focus. And it's fascinating to watch, because you can see all these truly amazing people who were cigar and pipe smokers, and the impact that they had on the world was amazing. And you know, when you look at the history of the banning of marijuana, I mean, I've never used marijuana. I've had no interest in it. It's just not for me. But if you look at the history of the banning of marijuana and the reasons why and stuff like that, you know, it's definitely a plant which does have, you know, some positive impact. I mean, everything has a positive and a negative. You can eat too much bread and get diabetes, quite literally, by blowing apart your endocrine system. It's, you know, I don't see anybody trying to ban wheat, even though there's huge gluten intolerances, and you know, the white flour contributes to so many health problems.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really true health care, caring about your health, getting in touch with, you know, your world, your body.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating about tobacco. I like what you're saying about it, and how the Indian, the American Indian, treated it as a sacrament, didn't they?
Absolutely. You know, there were seven times in which tobacco was shared, and And it's fascinating if you study those. I don't want to make a list on that tonight. That's something which we could really, what I would almost have to do a class on. But if you look at the dynamics of tobacco socially in the Native American tribes, when two people met, they would often sit together, be still, be thankful, and thankfulness is key with tobacco, and they would smoke together. And what I think is so cool about that, we live in a culture today where networking is the in thing, where you learn things like the form method. You ask about their family, occupation, recreation, and then you move on. So you get a superficial feel for somebody. I mean, there are people that lead trainings in that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something so much deeper about what happens when you meet someone and you can just be still with them for a little bit. And sharing tobacco, which again opens up the, it literally helps generate more alpha brain waves. It calms the nerve system. And if you spend the time and you would actually share a pipe or smoke tobacco with someone, you really get to know them. Compared to, are you married? Are you single? What do you do for a living? What do you do for fun? Okay, time for me to move on to the next sucker in the room and pass out a business card.
Yeah, I have been guilty of going to that kind of a party and walking around saying a nonsense sentence because nobody listened anyway.
There's the key right there. If you get two people sharing tobacco, they're both listening,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting to know each other. Compared to networking, where it's like, okay, how can I get this person to take my card?
Right.
Right.
And remember me. Yeah, it's got nothing
now
to do with the life.
How do you prepare your tobacco and how do you smoke it?
At this stage of the game, I smoke a lot of cigars. It's just
okay.
It fits in with my lifestyle really well. I've been trained and I learned how to smoke a pipe traditionally, and that's part of the process as well. But if you're growing your own tobacco, one of the things which people say, and this gets really cool. If you're growing your own tobacco, you definitely want to harvest it before it's too big, or preferably before it goes to seed, and dry it in the shade, and then cut it up and dry it, so on and so forth. Let it age, but you always mix it with something. So and what's cool about that, again, everything native has a philosophy with it as well as a practicality. If you're going to take tobacco and you mix it with some herbs like mullein, maybe a mint, maybe a little bit of willow bark, and you begin to get in touch with exactly what's good for you. What's your unique tobacco blend? And literally, it's really cool because, every person's the same way. Every person literally on the planet has the same essence, the spirit that moves through all things, or humanity, or whatever you want to call us. We have the same core essence, which we could say is tobacco, gratitude, thankfulness. But we also have other things mixed in that make us unique, just like every person's smoking blend is unique. So, when you really begin to look at all the dynamics with that, even with the preparation of your smoking blend, your tobacco, there's something cool there that you get to factor in and just remember, as you're making your tobacco, yes, as humans, we're all the same. We all come from the same source. The same, love literally animates all of us. And yet we're all different. We all have different things which are added into our mix, just like the smoking mix.
That's a wonderful metaphor.
Everything I know with Native American stuff is like that. Whether it's rubbing two sticks together to get fire or learning how to track the nuances in every single track that you see, moving invisibly, silently through the woods, every skill has philosophy and like a very neat healing paradigm built into it.
And it sounds like Carol smokes cigars. She just said that she starts the day with a cigar. Their day is just like much better.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Huh.
I started smoking I forget what year it was. I'd have to look. I took those websites down. But I literally started smoking intentionally. I had a website. It was a website up, and my whole message was smoking for peace. You know, tobacco, as I was taught, is the thank you plant. You always smoke it and use it in gratitude. You share it with gratitude. And so I decided one year, I mean, I was just drawn to this, I'm going to smoke for peace. And when I say smoking for peace, the philosophical component behind that is this. If every day I practice thankfulness, I smoke my tobacco like I've been trained, either, you know, with the medicine pipe or even just smoking a cigar and still offering it, you know, in the four directions to the seven, you know, so on and so forth. But getting in touch with that whole idea of being grateful every day. And really, if we are grateful, if we are full of thanksgiving and gratitude, we won't go to war with each other. We won't try to take what isn't ours. We won't lust. And the healing power, this is why they say in Native American teachings, all healing begins in the East. The East is associated with thankfulness, the time of spring, the plant of tobacco, the element of gratitude, thanksgiving, the eagle flying high close to the Creator. And all those things come together when you smoke tobacco. It's literally a trigger, and it's literally affecting you biochemically to have that creative, thankful flow going on in the brain. And it changes everything.
Wow, that's really cool. How about the pipe? Do you smoke the peace pipe?
Yes. Yeah, the pipe, what's really cool with, you know, yeah, when I was teaching, when I teach this at our scout camp event, or, you know, Way of the Scout, one of the things that I always bring up is, what I don't like about cigarettes are two things. One, there's chemicals mixed in, and there's defensiveness built in. Like, you put the chemicals in, then you have the filter, and there's just like a war-type mentality there. And the second thing I don't like about cigarettes is you can smoke one in like 2 minutes. And so there's no planning, there's no preparation, there's no consideration. Compared to if you're smoking a pipe, a medicine pipe, like a traditional pipe or a modern day pipe or a cigar, you literally are blocking out a length of time. So if we're going to do a traditional pipe ceremony, we're going to, you know, take the time to be still, take the time to focus on something, take the time to prepare the pipe, to load the pipe, to light the pipe, to share it with somebody if possible. If we're going to smoke cigars, it's I can't help but notice the similarities there. Very wealthy tycoons coming together to make not only business deals, but to invite the creativity which will change the world. You know, literally by taking the time to smoke tobacco together. And that there's something about that element that's really, really important, that you take the time to smoke. You don't just smoke to blow off steam like you do with a cigarette. You take the time to smoke with intention, with gratitude, with an awareness of the balance.
Well, do you actually share your cigars?
Not usually. Like, Carol and I will swap back and forth a little bit. You know, cigars tend to absorb spit and all that stuff, and it's just not that much fun. But oftentimes, you know, it's funny because we'll go out. We have a good friend, Gino, and we'll get together at Gino's house, you know, often like on a Friday evening. And we were over there one night, and we were outside smoking cigars, and his girlfriend said, "Boy, that smells really good." And I offered her, you know, to puff it, you know, and I'll do that with somebody who I know and trust, you know,
yeah.
and who I know will be comfortable with that. And it's really cool because you literally get to share something like that with someone.
Yeah, that is so cool. I noticed that somebody mentioned nettle in the chat room. I have such a prolific crop of nettle, you know, wild nettle all over the place that I actually go out and pick it and dry it and put it on the animal's food, but not only that, we actually make Indian dishes with it. And when eat that, it's so incredibly invigorating. And healing.
Carol makes an amazing nettle soup for some of our courses here. It's a nettle and potato soup, and boy, you can feel the power when you're eating plants like that.
Would she send me the
energy?
Recipe?
I'm sure she would. I'll talk her into it.
I just dry it and sprinkle it on the animal's food, and it seems to be very helpful to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to eat it. Nettle tea, yes. It's a very, Joan, I think you just asked about stinging nettle. If you brush up against it, it hurts quite a bit. It stings you. But when you dry it, it takes all the sting out of it. And then when you cook it, too, it won't have that sting. But it's the most nutritious, incredibly healing food almost on the planet.
This is all new to me. You're forever educating me about something.
If it is growing, since it is, whenever it grows, wherever you see it grow, you know that people have not used chemicals on the earth.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, we've been here about 20 years, and the people before us were here for a good 10, 15 years, and they were into organically grown stuff. And I would imagine that anybody before them just never used chemicals around on the earth.
Nice.
And nettle will not survive with a bunch of chemicals. So it just fades away immediately.
And the stings, too, are really good for arthritis. So if you know anybody who has arthritis, I've had some clients really do well with two things for arthritis. One, drinking cherry juice, and it's got to be pure cherry juice. It can be cherry concentrate or from fresh cherries. But if you have the cherry juice and also if you have nettles, literally being stung by the nettles releases anti-inflammatories in the body, which help with specific kinds of arthritis.
For goodness sake, somebody with arthritis would go walk through a field of nettles?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Yes?
Sure.
Well, yeah.
Or just if it's in the hands, just topically letting the hands be stung. You know, it'll itch and burn for a little bit, but it's really good stuff.
Well, is that similar to people who say that the yellow jacket stings? It does the same thing, or wasp stings?
If I was doing anything with bee stings, I'd go with the plantain like we were talking earlier.
No, I'm talking about stinging for healing.
With the bees. I gotcha. I don't know much about that. I know a fellow who does, but I don't know much about that.
It's back again to all the healing is in nature itself, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know the Stalking the Wild Asparagus book by Bill Gibbons? You know that book?
I don't know if I have that one or not.
Well, he talks about actually rolling around in nettle for his arthritis.
Nice.
I just never forgot that.
Wow. I have not read that. That is awesome.
It is awesome. I'm trying to calm down these dogs, but it's not happening. Yul Gibbons is a classic guy.
Yes.
Goes walking around the woods, and he was he'd go gathering weeds. He'd do weed walks, and he teaches people how to do it in his book, and it's quite amazing. Quite amazing.
You know what's cool if you think about Yul Gibbons? He really is almost like a godfather to a part of this movement. And I don't know if he really could have imagined the impact that he had. And when I think of shows like this show here or Vision Quest Radio or Granny Earth's newsletter, Connections, you don't know the impact that you have on people's lives. Could you imagine... Yeah, I know Yul Gibbons wrote some awesome books, and I have one or two of them here. But could you imagine? There's no way he can imagine the impact that he's had on your life and my life and on other people's lives. Just like what we're doing here tonight.
I love your ribbons, yeah. Well, we have about 30 seconds left on the program, so.
Too fast.
Wow.
Always
too
fast.
A pleasure. Totally a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you both for having having us on the show tonight.
And have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yes. I think we've just begun the holiday right now.
For sure, we just did.
Excellent.
Thank you. Good night.
Have a good night.
Thank you. I will be playing the music of Klaus Jensen and Henrique Abou. And here we go.